We're gonna try this and see what transpires. A bunch of different styles to fill our desires. It's gonna be super fun and full of wit. Robert Bacon is the host and he's full of it. We're gonna try it. After we like it, maybe we'll try it again. Maybe not though. Podcast.
Welcome to Try This Podcast, a podcast where every week we have on a new comedian and we do the podcast that they have always wanted to do. I'm Robert Bacon. This week, we switched it up a little bit. My guest is Colin Dahlgren, and we wanted to do a podcast that was more conversational, more just kind of focused on our lives, got a little like deeper and honest. And if some silly stuff happened, some silly stuff happened, because there's a lot of podcasts like that out there, and we just wanted to give it a shot. We talk a lot about our lives. We talk a lot about comedy. We talk a lot about improv. We talk about some sad stuff. I think that's really interesting. I had a real fun time recording this with Colin. It is probably the longest podcast that I will ever release. I hope you guys like it. This is the Guys Seriously Podcast.
Hey everybody, this is the Guys Seriously Podcast. That over there is Robert Bacon.
I hate the name.
You hate Guys Seriously? Wait, you hate Robert Bacon or Guys Seriously?
Oh, I love Robert Bacon. My dad took the better one. My dad's Bob Bacon.
Your dad's Bob Bacon?
And I'm Robert Bacon.
Why can't you be Bob?
Huh? Because my dad's Bob. Also, yeah, it just doesn't feel right. When somebody says Bob, I think my dad. And I think, what about Bob? And over there is Colin Dahlgren.
Hello.
Hi. We decided, you know, we haven't done a podcast, like a serious podcast, like one of just a conversational about lives, opinions. So this is just us talking about whatever.
Yeah. I actually, around this time of year, I feel more sad, depressed, like type of feeling.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's uncommon for most people.
No, I think it's a normal thing.
And it definitely has something to do with the weather, because this is like one of the first day, I guess it's like the first day after daylight savings.
Yeah.
Or daylight saving, sorry.
Whatever it is.
It's daylight saving.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that's a real thing that people have. I don't know. I definitely get a little bit more depressed in the winter. I just get sick of everything. I don't know.
Yeah. In 2013, there was like the month of February when it was like super cold outside, and I had actually like lost my job in December of 2012, and I was out of work until April of 2013.
Oh man.
So I was super poor, and my mom was paying my rent.
Oh god.
Like every single month, and she was like, just, you know, try and find a job, don't, like, you know, don't worry about it, I've got you, I'm gonna help you out. And like, so it became like 4 months of her helping me pay for rent. And then I didn't like buy anything. I didn't, you know, go out and like eat food or anything like that. I bought peanut butter and jelly makings and just like ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches all day.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That sounds awful. Wait, I knew you during this time.
Yeah, this is actually when we first started hanging out.
Oh really?
Yeah, and we started writing together. Well, you wrote for that one show, and I just...
Yeah, you wrote one sketch.
I wrote a sketch that was previously written, and I had just broken up with my girlfriend, or my girlfriend had just broken up with me.
Is that the girl that I know?
Yeah.
We won't name names on the podcast?
Yeah, we won't name names.
Okay, yeah, but so I know her, just so anyway, I know exactly.
Yeah, and it was 2 days before Valentine's Day, and I was so poor that I couldn't, like, really afford anything, so I made her a card, like an illustrated card.
Yeah.
And it took me forever. And then like the 2 days before, she was like, hey, do you want to like hang out? I was like, sure. And she came over, and I was like kind of cleaning up my place, asked if she wanted to, like, you know, kind of go somewhere cheap to eat, mm-hmm. type thing, because mm-hmm. I was super poor. And then she like sat down on the bed, and she's like, listen, I want to break up. And it was kind of like, you know, everything that was happening at the time. I was like, okay.
Dude, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like if you're unemployed, it's real difficult to keep a girlfriend. I feel like I know a lot of stories about guys who lost their jobs or didn't have jobs, and then they lose their girlfriend.
But to her credit, I think that she stayed with me longer than she wanted to.
To her credit.
To her credit. She didn't, like, because I lost my job back in December, and I think she was, like, right before that happened, I think she was kind of, like, feeling the vibe of, like, not being together anymore.
Yeah.
And then that happened, and she was like, I can't do it now.
Oh, man.
So that was nice of her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, it's got to be difficult. Like, I was thinking back when I first moved to the city. I moved to Chicago from teaching in Taiwan with my girlfriend at the time. And we moved to Chicago. Didn't have jobs, obviously, but we had money saved up from teaching. And she got a job, like, just a couple weeks after being here. So she would wake up and go to work every morning, and I would just stay in the apartment and, like, look for job. Like, you know, you can only look for a job so much out of the day, and then, you know, just start playing video games. And it was like that for about 2 months, 2.5 months.
Man.
And her and I were dating for 4 years, and she broke up with me. And I know part of it was just, like, not having a job and just, like, coming home to me not having a job. And then after we broke up, like, I had to go get my own apartment with no job and just money saved up. And I got a job shortly thereafter, and I've had a job ever since. But it's a tough time.
Yeah. My current girlfriend.
Who's been on the show.
Who's been on the show. A very lovely lady named Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
She actually started dating me when I didn't have a job.
Whoa. Whoa. Well that's not... it, real hard to pull off, buddy.
And in March, me and Margaret met at IO5B graduation shows. And then her and I started, like, hanging out. And I was, like, still super poor. And so we went on our first date at this place called Taste of Heaven off of Balmoral and Clark.
Taste of Heaven sounds like a real bad, like, porno shop. Like Lover's Lane.
I suppose it could be.
Yeah.
I'd never really thought of that before now.
Sorry, go ahead. Didn't mean to ruin your first date spot, but I just ruined it.
No, I did that myself. So we went there and we ate, and I was like, I'm going to pay for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really nice time.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, man, my mom is paying for this lunch, basically, because I'm, you know. So I felt like a real piece of garbage.
It's real cool that your mom gave you money. I'm going to be honest. My parents have never given me money.
And the horrible thing about it is I try to pay her back and she won't take it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not a horrible thing.
No, I mean, like, it's not, but it's just, like, there's nobody in the world who should be that good.
Well, you know? And wait, hold on. You have a sibling?
I have a sibling.
You have an older brother.
Older brother by 3 years.
Yeah. So you guys are basically the same age.
Yeah.
Is he as big a screw up as you are?
No, not.
Is he funny?
He's very funny. Yeah, he's a.
Why don't I see him around here?
He actually came up and visited and did the Second City intensive.
Oh, okay. So he's a professional then?
Oh, yeah. Now he is.
Yeah, now all the people that work with him are like, yeah, oh, he performed it with Second City.
Yeah, he can put it on his resume.
Yeah, that's what everyone... It's very annoying trying to explain to somebody that. The wording.
Well, because, like, whenever I was in Texas, like, doing comedy for... You know, the beginning, people would be like, oh, yeah, I went to Second City, and I studied it at Second City, and my immediate thought would be like, oh, man, you've made it.
Yeah? You really thought that?
I did think that. I was, like, very naive and just like, oh, man, I should get out there.
Yeah. Before I moved here, I was in Taiwan, and I knew I had to come back home, and I'm like, man, what do I want to do with my life? Oh, I want to do comedy. I want to do improv. I'm going to go to Second City first. I'm going to learn at Second City. And then I did some reading, and I'm like, oh, it turns out, like, the A through E program at Second City is, like, actually kind of like a novice program. And you could skip it and go to their conservatory program if you just have a year of experience. And I'm like, if I'm going to do that, then I should go to another theater in Chicago. And that's what made me go to I.O. Because then I read about I.O. and how great that is. So I went to I.O. first. So it was like very, I don't know, I feel like people outside of the community are like, oh, yeah, yeah, like, oh, you finished a year of Second City. It's like, that's like, that's just school. I've gone through Second City Conservatory, I.O. Training Center, Annoyance Training Center, and I've done a couple of the comedy sports classes and some other like workshops and stuff like that. I can't say that any of them are bad. I feel like all of them are great. Feel like they're all amazing.
I think that you get a certain thing out of every single one of them, you know.
Yes, everyone is very different. And you definitely get a lot out of it. But now that you're here, you realize that like just by finishing the program, you are not good.
No, I thought I was pretty good once I finished the programs.
That's your first problem.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, if you want to be successful in comedy, the thing you have to do first is walk into that very first class that you have.
Very, the most important class.
Act like you own the place.
Yeah.
And just do, you know, like, even think of bits before you get into the room.
That's the best way to do it. Keep a couple bits in your back pocket.
Yeah, no matter what the suggestion is for the scene, you just do your thing. Because I'll tell you what, a creepy prospector in, like,
I love that guy.
Like, Civil War era is gold. They love it. I love it. And you'll love it, too.
Also, learn to not take a note. Like, as soon as the instructor starts telling you something, like something that you did wrong, be like, yeah, I know. I was kind of going for this, and try to explain away.
It'll always work out in your favor.
It'll always work out.
As long as you explain it, then it'll be fine.
Also, the instructor will respect you. They'll be like, oh, I was trying to give this person a note, and they deflected my notes, and then they can't pin anything bad on you. When it comes time to, like, thinking about teams, or if you go to an audition and they're auditing it, you know? I feel like that's the best way to handle things. We are obviously being extremely sarcastic assholes about this whole thing.
Yeah, I think also the reason that we're sarcastic about it is because we just, like, grow a thick skin because we know that we've been those people at some point, you know, like...
I was definitely that person who put way too much on the first class.
Yeah, yeah, like... I felt whenever I went in there that I had to prove that I belonged in there.
Same.
Which is just such a crazy...
It is the absolute worst way to go in.
Yeah.
And it definitely... And I feel like a lot of people do that because, I don't know, like, I moved here to do this specifically. So you show up to your first class and you're like, man, I need to show, like, that I belong here, you know? And you think that, like, your instructors have some sort of say in other things when really they're just there to teach. And I feel like you put way too much pressure on yourself and you're not going to be funny. And and you're not going to be funny because you're new to improv and comedy and to like learning what real comedy is. And there's difference between being funny around your friends and there's difference between being funny in front of a group of people who don't know who you are.
Man, like when I first came here, I think I had the idea that I was just going to be, like, picked up right away. I mean, like, that was the fantasy, you know? I don't think that I ever 100% believe that, but I think there was a strong percentage of, like, yeah, like, they're going to see what I got, like, what heat I got in the kitchen, and they're just going to be like, you know, come on to main stage or whatever.
I thought the exact same way.
Yeah.
Until my first class... When Matt Baratz was in my class, and he's like an amazing performer, and to see him,
he was in my Second City class.
Yeah, and him just like destroy everything, and it was like, okay, cool. Oh, there's some really good people here.
But I think you really need those moments of humbling to where you're like, okay, cool. And whenever you take that pressure off of yourself to like not be the best, that's when you're the best version of yourself.
Yep, 100%. I feel like. Now, do you get nervous before an improv show?
Not anymore.
No, I haven't gotten. Yeah, I never get nervous for an improv show.
Yeah, it's
before a sketch show. If they're like before a musical number, because you can't improvise your way out of a musical number mistake. I get a little nervous before that.
I get nervous before a solo show. Like,
yeah,
if I'm doing solo pieces, I get nervous before that because there's no like, I find that everybody on the team around me is a safety net that I can trust. And then, you know, all that, any butterflies or any nervousness goes away because I know that they're like out there to get my back and I'm there to get their backs.
Yeah.
But I can't get my own back whenever it's like a solo thing. And I'm just like, if this sucks.
Also, the solo thing is, it's all on you. You come out there and everyone's like, all right, this better be funny because you've had time to prepare. It's only you. Make me laugh. Ugh.
And I'm such a horrible procrastinator that...
Yeah, you are.
Oh, man. Anybody who's worked with me can understand that. but, like, whenever I've done solo stuff, I've thought, like, I've usually done it or thought about it the day of.
God damn it.
Yeah, I've, like, brought up stuff. And then it always works out, like, really well. And it goes well. But then I'm thinking to myself, like, if I had put more like prepared more, how good could it have been? Probably much better.
That's what I say about you all the time, Colin.
Yeah. I'm really my own worst enemy.
You are, Colin. Speaking of that, speaking of own worst enemies, so I feel like, I don't know, after being in this community for a while, and being the people who we are, this doesn't have to be about just the improv community or the comedy community here. I feel like everyone kind of has like a little problem, like, or, you know, like some reason why they're funny. Do you remember like having that moment when you were little or any kind of thing that you think made you funnier?
Yeah, it was my...
Made you who you were.
My desperate desire to be liked.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you not well liked in like middle school, elementary school? Is that was like...
I don't think it was ever like a idea of that, like not being liked in general.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I had to be the most liked out of everyone. And so I had this weird like desire of just being the funniest, the best, the, you know, whatever. And I think that really just kind of...
Why did you have that desire?
I have no idea.
What pushed you towards that?
I think that's just who I've always been as a person. It's just kind of like... I've been very attention craved for my entire life as a child and then growing up into an adolescent. But I think that like moving here and then like finding comedy has really mellowed me out as far as that goes, because now I get that weird fix that I think everybody has. So it kind of like, you know, makes me more normal, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll go and say, too, I'll say I agree with that, but also, maybe this is just me, you know how you have strings of good shows, strings of bad shows sometimes, like sometimes you just get in a funk, and the longer you do it, most of the time it's just like, you just mostly have good shows, and every now and then you have a bad show. Recently I've had a good string of shows, and I'll be happy, but... there'll always be a moment of, like, sadness, like, an hour after the show of...
Like, whether it was good or not?
Yeah. Only if it was good.
Oh, wow.
If it was really good, and then it's like, I get that. I get that fix of, like, that was great. This is, like, you did a great job. The team did a great job. You got all the laughs. That was really great. And then it's like, and then I don't know, I get this feeling of like, so what?
Yeah.
It's like, now you're right here where you were before.
And then it's like, that will never happen again. Literally never happen again.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't get that? This is just me. This is just me.
Yeah, it's just me. No. It's a sobering feeling. Like, I understand completely. But I've also been in a kind of a drought currently. And I think that other people don't think so, but then I think so. So I don't know if that's because I'm doing bad shows or I just think that I'm doing bad shows. Because people will be like, you know, come up after a show and say, like, good show. But you never know if it's genuine or if it's just...
I feel like you know in your heart, like, if you could do better or not. And maybe you are doing well, but you know, like, oh, I've done better. I can do way better in this.
Yeah.
So you have that feeling? See, that's weird. I get that. When I have a bad show, I'll feel bad for, like, 5 minutes after it. And then I'm actually fine.
Oh, weird. Because I take it into, like, overdrive. I go crazy. I just go home and I get sad. Usually, after a really bad show, I will go to a place called Wasabi Cafe off of Lincoln, near the, it's close to the Irving Park Brown Line.
Okay.
And I will just like gorge myself on all you can eat sushi, and just kind of like sit there in sadness and just eat.
Wow.
Yeah. It's.
A lot of people, I guess, use eating as a.
Yeah, I mean, like I have a high metabolism, so I can work it off.
You're a jerk, so you are.
I'm sorry.
I gotta go running all the damn time.
Yeah. Well, it's because you have more body mass.
I'm a giant.
Yeah, you are a giant man. You know what?
6'6", 235 right now.
When I first met you, I did not like you.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because you had like said anything bad to me or because I, you know, you like sounded like a jerk.
Oh, I love this.
It's because you looked exactly like the ex-boyfriend of the ex-girlfriend that I had just broken up with. And you know what? I'll say that like that was a big reason that I moved out here because her and I had broken up and I was really sad about it. I was like, I just need a change. Like, I need to go somewhere and do something that is not in Texas and around this general vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got here, I just found somebody that looked exactly like fucking guy. And I was like, oh. I remember it because it was at the Conservatory.
Oh, God, that stupid place. Yeah. Sorry. It's a great place for up-and-coming people. Anyway, go ahead. And, I don't mean to bash any theater. That's a dumb thing to do. But go ahead.
So, yeah, it was like this Conservatory show. It was like Improv Gladiators.
Yep.
And you guys were doing a set, and I was just like, that fucking guy.
Oh, man.
That piece of shit. And then I found out that you're in my Second City Conservatory level. Not the necessary class, but the level.
Your level.
And like, because they had those weird, like, shows.
The beforehand? Yeah.
Yeah,
the
beforehand. Test shows? Yeah. To test out for your test out.
Yeah.
Because, like, in level 3, you would test out all your material. Then you would skip, like, go to, like, level 4.
Yep.
Not do anything. Then go to level 5 and open for the people who were doing their conservatory shows.
Yeah.
And then you would do their shows. But, like, throughout the entire thing, I was just like, this asshole. And you and David were, like, good friends at the time.
Yeah.
And me and David were, like, good on a
friends.
Team. And yeah, I don't know if we're good friends.
You guys are good friends.
Yeah, we're fine.
We're all friends.
He is the absolute worst.
Hey, don't get off track on this. I want to hear the rest of this.
Okay. Okay, we'll come back to David Schwartzbaum. Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, you guys did your Tony Romo sketch.
Yeah.
Which is a big crowd pleaser. But I'm also from Texas and a Cowboys fan.
Yep.
So, like, that added insult to injury.
Yep.
And the other fact was that it was funny. And I was just like, these pricks getting laughs. This guy looks like my ex-girlfriend's ex-boyfriend. And you, like, go into your own mind and just think of how ridiculous that sounds.
It is stupid.
Hold somebody accountable for a pain that you're feeling that isn't, like, even related to that other person.
Can I say that this is not the first time that... I think I've told you this. It's not the first time that I've had somebody be like, not like me, because they're like, oh, you remind me of this guy in high school that like was a big dick and he would like pick on me. Or like, you remind me of this person. I like remind people a lot of people that they don't like. I just kind of have a douche face. Yeah, so I've gotten that before and it's not fair. Well, it's kind of fair.
You know what? You would be like the perfect like cast for a high school bully.
Yep.
You know, just like those fingerless gloves that have Velcro fasteners.
Yeah, I got a couple pairs of those. I don't leave the house without them.
Just in case, you know, you see a couple of nerds.
Just a couple of nerds.
Just a couple of nerds sitting at a cafeteria.
Here's the thing, though. We live in a time now. We live in a time where, like, being a nerd is, like, cool and, like, being the jock is lame. So, like, now it's switched. Like, the nerds are the bullies. Like, they're mean to, like, those guys who, like, go play softball after work.
Yeah, I identify with the jock because I played baseball and football and all that. And then I identify with the nerds because I love Marvel Comics and video games. And not that everybody's...
And theater and improv.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's not necessarily a nerd thing. That's just what you do to
get pretty nerdy.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Pretending on stage with a bunch of people.
Yeah, but it's not pretend if it's real.
Okay. go ahead.
Yeah, just let. But I guess I'm more nerd than I am jock because of just the way I look. I'm not super handsome or super...
Yeah, you are not.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
You are an unfortunate looking man.
But I've had... I'm not unfortunate. If anything,
unfortunate is the best way to say it.
If anything, I'm interesting looking.
Steve Buscemi is interesting looking.
And in some lights, that man is just downright handsome.
No, in no lights.
Yeah, no lights. In no lights,
in
he's
no
handsome.
Lights, he's handsome. Anyway, hey, let's talk about something else.
What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about something serious that's really affected our lives.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep.
AIDS.
I want to know about AIDS. No, this is something I wanted to talk to you about for a while, because I think I've only heard, like, bits and pieces.
And you wanted to talk about it on a very public forum.
Yeah, well, only, like, 400 people listen to episode, so...
Oh, okay, yeah. And they probably all know me anyway and know the...
Yeah, no one cares. Anyway, no one cares. Tell us... So, Colin, your father passed away.
He did.
When you were 17?
No, I was 21.
21.
About 10 days before my 22nd birthday.
All right. Can you tell... Like, I don't know how he died. I don't know a lot about it. Can you tell me about it? And can you tell me about how it affected you and maybe how it comes into your comedy?
Sure. My dad was pretty old when he had my brother and I.
How old?
41 when he had my brother, 44 when he had me.
Oh, so there's still time for me to have kids.
Yeah, I mean...
I got plenty of time then.
If you want to pass away when they're in their early 20s, sure.
That's the best way. After that, you can take care of yourself after that.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Go ahead.
So he was 44 when he had me,
mm-hmm.
and he was 66 when he passed away. He had prostate cancer, and it had metastasized in his spine. And was giving him back problems, and he found out in the early months of 2002, and then he passed away in November of 2003. So it was like almost 2 years, you know, before the beginning and the end.
Did you guys know right away when they talked about it? Were they like, all right, there's maybe a chance we can get to this. There's maybe a chance we could fix this, or was it kind of like, hey guys?
Yeah, it was, like, already, like, pretty advanced.
How'd you find out? Like, how'd they tell you? Was it, like, in a card? Sorry.
No, I wouldn't put it past my family, though. We're a lot of morbid people, and we understand our own mortality.
Yeah.
Maybe not more than anyone else, but definitely we understand it a lot. And my dad was just a dark humored person who would constantly talk about his own demise, and so we were prepared for it in some way or another.
Well, how'd you find out? How did he tell you? Did the family gather around, or was it just kind of like as you came home from wherever you were?
I can't remember how I found out. I think
my
mom told me, and I think I had just seen the movie Orange County with Jack Black.
Oh, my God. Way to ruin that movie.
No, I mean, that movie ruined that movie. So it was like basically two swings and a misses in one day. And my mom had told me that they went to the doctor and that came back, and it was like a negative result. And I remember crying whenever I like heard about it, because it's just like a lot, you know?
Yeah, dude.
He's just like, oh, wow, this thing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I remember, like, before that, he didn't seem all that bad off. But then after we found out, he kind of, like, started to go towards, you know, like, the bad end of it, I guess. So, yeah, it was, like, early 2002 that I found out. And I think my mom told me in, like, the dining room whenever I come back from the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, that sucks. So you remember the last couple of years. So you knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So he would, and then he had a good sense of humor about it. So that was nice.
Yeah. He was doing these Luprong shots. I don't know exactly what those do for cancer, but he would have to sit in a chair and have like the nurse give him these shots in his arm and like have it work its way through, kind of like chemo.
Yeah.
And, all the nurses like loved him at this place, and he was like super nice to, like, very agreeable person and very just nice to everyone. And, but he also had like this dark, morbid sense of humor. So like one day he went to the doctor and they were like telling him that there really wasn't like any change. The shots weren't really doing anything and that, mm-hmm. you know, he was still on course to, you know, pass away pretty soon. And he was in the chair getting the shot. And then the nurse was like, "Oh, how are you doing today, Bill?" And he was like, "I actually got some really great news today." And I was like sitting next to him in one of the chairs and I was like, "No, you didn't. What the fuck is he talking about?" And then she's like, "That's great. What is it?" And he said, "I'm not going to have to buy Christmas cards."
No!
And I was like, and this poor woman's yes. face just like lit up and then just completely shut down. And
that's a great joke. Oh my God, that's so good.
I felt bad for her, but I was just like thinking if she had been raised in 20 years of of what I'd been raised in, I think that she would understand. And like I say yeah. that in a way that was like, you know, I say that like it's a bad thing, but it wasn't. It was like super great.
And I would have laughed. You know. That's a great joke. My stepmom had breast cancer and she went through chemo, and she's fine now. It's it was caught early. But we'd make jokes about it all the time because, like, you know, she gets sick and it's like it really ravages you. But we were still like, we'd be waiting in line for something, and somebody, like, we'd see somebody in a wheelchair who would like it to go to the front of the line, and then be like, "Renata, like, why can't you be like real cancer sick so we can like cut in the front of the line?" And
she's like, a make a wish.
Yeah, like, how come we can't? I think I made a make a wish joke. I'm like, I can't even go see anybody famous because you're not sick enough. You're just like, just sick, not sick enough to go get something cool. And we'd like, that's how my family dealt with it, like with that thing happening.
Yeah, we did. Go ahead, sorry. We had like a lot of humor, like my mom says it's like the best story, but it's also the worst, is like when my dad did pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Passed away on November 24th, and we were in the room that he passed away in the hospital, and he was like still in the bed, and they had just come in and wrapped him in the sheets, and the only thing that was peeking out was like his head. Mm-hmm. So they kind of like do that like right before they, you know, cart you off to wherever. And me and my brother were in the room, and my mom was at the nurse's station signing some paperwork, you know, for like the release of my father's body. And so my brother was like walking, like pacing the room because he's just like, you know, a nervous pacer. And I was sitting on the this love seat that they had in the room, and I was like sitting on the arm of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brother's walking around, and all of a sudden I just like lit this horribly huge fart, and it's just like my brother stopped and looked at me, and then like I took a beat and I looked at him and I pointed at my father and blamed it on him. And my brother like,
oh man,
was just so shocked that he like had this really nervous laugh that like came out. I was just like, "Ha ha ha ha."
That's a great bit.
And I was just like, "Oh God, I just blamed a fart on my recently deceased father," and I felt bad. I felt really bad about it until like people were like, "That's funny," and your dad would have liked it.
Yeah,
because he was just a morbidly humored person.
It's not like a movie. Like, it's, we all deal with it in different ways, and we all, like, there's no right or wrong way to handle that situation. It's whatever helps you through it.
Yeah.
I think, in my stupid opinion. I don't know. I think that's really funny, and it's something you'll remember forever. And hopefully, when you die, your kid will continue the tradition. Maybe fart on you.
Yeah.
Because you gotta you know, elevate the bit.
Yeah, that's one of the thing is, like, if he does the same thing, I'm gonna be so disappointed in him because I'm like, you're just, you know, you're not
yesing.
Yeah, you're just yesing. You're not anding.
Yeah, you're not anding. Oh my God, that's so sad. Somebody, how has that affected your improv? How has that affected your comedy? How's that affected your comedy?
I think in a way, it's like given me experience that nobody else has.
Yeah.
You know, like, not nobody else, but,
no,
you know, like,
here's the thing. Nobody else does have that. So even if, it's everyone's relationship with their mother or father, their parents or grandparents is different for everybody. So yeah. It's every individual's no one's had that same experience as you. So yeah, you have a unique thing on that. So go ahead. Sorry.
No. That's pretty much it. Like, is just, oh yeah, I've kind of like had this thing happen to me, and it was like at a pretty young age. I mean, I know there are people that are younger or like never even knew their parents.
Yep.
But it's kind of like, you know, the friends that I have now are maybe a little younger, maybe a little older, but generally their parents are like, you know, both still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that is an interesting thing for somebody to go through, and everybody will go through it at some point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think.
Well, if you don't go through it, then that means that you died before your parents, and that's even worse.
Yeah. Like, I would hate to have that, you know, like if I were a parent and then, yeah.
I've seen my cousin Steven passed away when I was living in, I'm talking about Taiwan a lot in this one. I was living in Taiwan and we were on vacation with a friend in Taiwan at Taroku Gorge. And I came back from vacation and opened up an email, and my dad sent me an email saying, "Hey, Steven, who's 2 years younger than me, I think he was 24 at the time,
mm-hmm.
26, 24, something like that. And he's like, yeah, Steven died. Steven passed away. Steven was in a car accident. And it completely devastated my whole family, especially my aunt and uncle.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
That, it's awful. So I make jokes about it sometimes, and they're not... But they help me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like, it's definitely catharsis, you know? I mean, am I reusing that word right? I don't know. Who knows? but, it's like a closure, you know? And, like, people use a sense of, their sense of humor to get over stuff. And I think that that's definitely the type of people that we are, because we, you know, need the... I mean, at the end of the day, everybody needs the approval of another person in the dark laughing at you to, like, feel that you've done a good job or that you've, like...
No, I think that might be us.
Yeah, or that...
I think it's like, a comedian.
What you have to say... Yeah, I'm just saying of our
kind. Of our kind.
Of our kind.
Do you ever wish that you weren't this way?
Sometimes.
Do you ever wish that, like, you weren't a funny guy?
Yeah, I kind of wish I was just... I don't want to say normal. You know, because that's like, that's kind of shitty. He's like, oh yeah, I wish I was normal.
A muggle.
I just wish I wasn't such an attention whore and I could like get through a day without, you know, going back to the well for acceptance from other people.
Yeah. Just right now, as we're doing this, you keep checking your phone for an Instagram post that drew.
I did some hashtags in it, so I'm just seeing.
Oh, God.
Example.
Thank you, it's the middle of a podcast.
Nicola, and thank you, TRusso27, and thank you, Captain Jamerica.
Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cap'n, not Cap.
Just put your phone down. Oh, my God. You're doing it right now. Put it away.
Sorry.
What's in the middle of my podcast.
Yeah, I feel like we focused a lot on me during this.
Yeah.
I feel bad. what's like the...
That's you, buddy.
The hardest thing that you've had to endure.
Oh God!
The hardest thing you've had to endure since moving here.
Oh, since moving here. Oh wow. Well, that's nothing then.
See, it's not that bad.
No, I feel like it's. I went through since I've been in Chicago. It's actually been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before Chicago, there's a bunch of stuff that was not good. I don't know. I really love living here. I love this city. I love the opportunities. Maybe.
And those who can't see Robert Bacon's apartment, he actually has 10 different Chicago album covers on his wall, as well as posters of the shows he's been in, reviews of the shows he's been in.
That's the New York Times right there.
Yeah, the New York Times. Oh, yeah. I was actually supposed to be...
In that show
as Robert Bacon's part.
Nope. My part.
Yep. But I couldn't do it because I was in Second City House Co.
Cool. Hey, thanks for asking me a question about me, Colin.
Hey, what was I thinking about?
Anyway, I say the hardest thing. Well, there's this lady. No, don't want to talk about that. Moving here was very difficult. Really not knowing anybody. Starting a whole new life. You know what? Actually, no. The hardest thing is getting used to the constant rejection
in this business.
I feel like it's a weird adjustment getting used to constant rejection in the community and being accepted on things and not being accepted on things and yeah. your friends being accepted on things and you're like, why are they in it and I'm not in it? It's
a little jealousy sting.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't get jealous about that. I just get in my own head. I'm like, oh, they're in it? Like, man, why can't I be in it? Not like I'm not jealous of that person. I'm not angry at that person.
Yeah.
I'm more kind of just on myself being like, hey, why, like, you didn't even try on that one. You didn't even go to that audition. You know what I mean? And it's difficult. So, but I don't know. It feels like I didn't have a very good childhood. I also joined the Marines, which was really stupid and was very difficult.
But thank you, Marines, for your service, who are listening.
Yeah, okay, but not me. After moving here, like, I don't know, I'm chasing after my dreams, so it's even the hard stuff doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah. It's like definitely something that I, you know, again, even though it's you know, we've both had like hard times of either breakups or like mm-hmm. in between jobs and like not knowing, well, for me personally, not knowing where my next meal is going to come from sometimes.
Do you even eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches anymore?
I got so sick of them. Like, I think I was like in month three and I was just like eating peanut butter. Seriously, it's like one of the cheapest things you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
It was really sad. It was a very dark time in my life.
Literally, yeah, the lights shut off.
Yeah, the lights of Chicago were shut off because the winter was so brutally awful.
Oh, man. 2012, was that snowpocalypse?
No. I think that was like 2011.
Yeah.
But it was 2013, and it was a pretty shitty winter.
Hey, but we're in good places now.
Yeah, we're doing great.
I got a good job. You got a good job.
Yeah.
We're both doing tons of shows and whatnot.
I find myself very lucky.
Yeah, you have a beautiful girlfriend.
She is beautiful.
That you love.
I do love her.
I will die alone.
Come on.
You
stop that.
No.
Yeah, you're like the most handsome man that I've ever known.
Shut up.
That is just like, oh, I'm gonna die alone. I hate my fucking beautiful blue eyes, my hairline that's stayed the same way since I was in high school.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lose my hair. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, you're doing great. You know what? It's okay because it gives me character.
Okay. Dude, it's
and
not
you know
about
who
that.
Else has character?
What?
Steve Buscemi.
I was going to say Steven Seagal.
Steven Elaine Buscemi.
Is that his middle name?
No, I have no idea. I could look it up on my phone if you want.
Oh, no. Stop. Put that away. No one cares.
Just who Steve Buscemi's middle name is.
Oh, God. All right. Anything else you want to ask me a question?
Yeah. Like, if you could accomplish one thing.
Ooh.
Like, in the future.
Okay.
What would that one thing be? It could be anything.
Sometime in the next 5 years, it would be great if I could somehow do something where I'm either making enough money from acting or making enough money from selling my artwork to be able to go on that and not have a job, a day job, a standard day job. That'd be really nice.
That'd be nice.
I'd really like to have that. As of right now, it's just too sporadic and to like count on.
Well, you also know? Have expensive tastes.
What expensive tastes?
Yeah, you just got this huge. You got this huge TV. It's got lights behind it, and it like has it lights up with the light of whatever's at the edge of the TV, so it looks
cool.
like an extent. It is really cool. But
I got a new entertainment center too. You didn't say anything about that.
I honestly didn't notice, Robert.
Anyway, yeah. So that's what I would pick. What about you? What is something like little that you would like?
I want to be the only man in the history of man that never dies.
Okay. I'm on for that.
I don't know. Like, I think I'd like to merge my two passions of both performing and drawing, illustrating into something like a children's book or, you know, like a graphic novel.
You need to do a children's book.
Yeah?
You need to do a children's book. I think it'd be really cool.
Margaret, last year for my birthday, which is
Margaret's your girlfriend.
Yeah, Margaret's my girlfriend. Beautiful woman.
Go on.
Gorgeous eyes.
Oh, my God.
But she has, like, huge glasses, and they, like, make her eyes tiny.
Anyway, go on, buddy.
I'm just talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gave me this book for my birthday last year. It was like a children's book illustration, like survival guide, basically.
Okay.
So it's like you have like all these resources in there, and you can like send in packets to different publishers, and you can like
God, okay,
think about getting literary agents and stuff like that.
Yeah, why don't you think about that? I think you'd make a good children's book. I think you would make a good children's book.
Oh, I thought you said I would make a good children's book, like I myself.
Yeah, you would. I could write on you, and I could.
I could read you to children.
I could read you. I could fold you like a baby.
I don't know.
You don't fold babies?
We do not condone folding babies.
Oh, man. I fold my babies and
this
keep
them. This podcast is not folding baby.
I fold babies, and I put them next to each other on the thing.
What thing?
Next to the washing machine.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to even finish this joke.
I'm shaking my head. That's how bad it is.
No. Why are you saying no to that? What else?
I'm not saying no. I'm just like, I'm a horrible procrastinator.
You are. You're the worst.
Yeah.
I'm going to make my own cartoon. You know what? Can I add another thing on my thing?
Sure.
You know that Jewel song that I made a long time ago?
Oh, yeah.
I made a Jewel rap, and Colin came over to help me like do storyboard it. And I'm like, oh, cool. Colin's going to like help me like draw it and stuff. But Colin is the worst. So, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself. It's going to be awful because I'm not as good as an illustrator as you.
How's that working out?
I'll get it done before you get your book done.
That's not true.
Challenge accepted?
Challenge accepted.
Okay, you guys, you heard it right here on the podcast. I am going to finish my Jewel rap cartoon animation. Doesn't have to be good. And before Colin can finish his book.
Even the not good animations take fucking forever.
You say that.
Yes, I'm an animator. I graduated from college with a degree in animation, mm-hmm. and it is incredible.
How many cartoons have you made?
Well, I've helped.
About Jewel raps?
None.
Okay, well then, you don't know what you're talking about. I trust that it's going to be hard. I have Toon Boom on my computer.
Okay, yeah, that's a good start.
I have Toon Boom. I got that pad thing. I got a Wacom tablet.
I think it's a Wacom.
Wacom tablet. And I'm gonna do it before you finish your dumb book. How long is a kid's book? 600 pages?
Yeah, something like that.
Cool.
Yeah. Like, all right. I'm going to be 800 just to be safe.
Yeah.
You know, do like a Moby Dick thing.
Yeah, it takes that long for a kid to fall asleep, right?
Sometimes. Actually, I didn't stop screaming for like the first 18 months of my life. So
what the heck?
Yeah, I was like I don't know if I was a colicky baby or what, but I was super screaming like about 23 hours a day.
Could you see your future hairline?
You piece of shit. It's not that
Did you have that same hairline when you were a baby?
I did.
You probably did.
Well, my dad was super bald, so I knew exactly what my future had to hold.
I don't think that's how it works. I think it's your mom's side.
Well, I saw my grandfather on my mom's side, and he had like a hairline like I have.
Uh-oh.
And I was just like, it's fucked either way.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm going to hold on to that because that's the one thing I got, all right? I was born with a full blonde, bright white hair when I was born.
Nice blue eyes, 6'6" stature, muscles when you want them.
Yeah, that's not the problem.
But I have a beautiful lady who loves me.
Yeah, and I have a beautiful lady that loves me, and her name is Mayor McCheese, and
hey,
she's my kitty cat.
Come here, cheese.
If you guys ever listen to my podcast and you either hear like a random meow sound or like some scratchy sounds in the background, ruining my podcast, that's Mary McCheese.
Or it's me.
Or it's Colin constantly around my apartment. All right, I think that's enough time. I think that's all the time we have.
Yeah, I hope.
Is there anything you want to say before we're done?
I'd say like, don't make your dreams like harder than they have to be. I would say like, don't. Kind of like everybody has a different path, a different journey to like get to basically the same place of mm-hmm. being good at what they love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you're not making it as fast as they are doesn't mean that you won't make it on your own time.
Mm-hmm.
So like I would say that that's like one of the issues that a lot of people deal with.
Yes, I totally agree with that. Also, people put a lot of pressure on themselves for not paid gigs. Like, it's supposed to be fun. This is something that you're supposed to build on. This is supposed to be
your fun time.
But it's about the art, Robert.
Yes, I totally agree with you on that. And it's super important, and it's something that you really like. But it's not your livelihood. You're not going to be kicked out of your apartment if you don't get it, because it's not paying. So you still need a job anyway. I agree with you, because like, so I'll get a voiceover and I won't be that excited about it. But if I get a show, I'll be more excited about that, and it doesn't pay.
Well, give me a line to do a voiceover at. I'll end it on that.
Okay, I just did one for a set of colleges. They do not sponsor this show, and they probably don't support this podcast. So not gonna say that. We'll just keep it generic. But it's, you're gonna hear my voice for a year on the radio for this place, and you're going to hate me. Okay, so what's like a generic one that I can get you to say? How about sign up today to lock in your rates for... Oh, no, it's sign in today. Sign up today to lock in your rates for the 2015 year.
Sign up today to lock in the rates for the 2015 year.
That's an awful voiceover.
No, I'm just... I was verifying.
No. All right, next.
Sign in today. No, sign
next,
up today.
Sir, I'm going to go ahead and turn off your microphone.
Sign
you already
up
tried.
Today to verify and lock in your rates for the 2015 year.
Sir, that's not even your voice.
I'm a old prospector.
No, sir.
You painted my pot my space in the river. I'll shoot you dead.
Actually, sir, that's pretty good. We don't need it for the College of Illinois thing, but we have one for cash for gold. Do you want to do that?
Cash for gold?
Yeah, hold on. I'll give you
I pan 35 rivers for that.
Okay, hold on. I'll get you the script. This. The script is, turn your old gold into cash. Cashforgold.com. Can you give that to us?
In a prospector's voice?
Yeah.
Turn your old gold into cash at cashforgold.com.
Okay, never mind. I thought it was going to be good, but it was bad.
Yeah.
What we were looking for is more... Turn your cash into gold with goldforcash.com.
God, that's so much better.
Yeah. I'm an old prospector.
All right, I think you've made your point, Robert.
Ooh, look at me.
You piece of fucking garbage.
Hey, we couldn't even end on a real thing.
We had to do a bit.
Whatever. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Anything else you just want to say? One last thing about anything encouraging words?
Be nice. Seeing as we talked about this, be nice to the people that love you and the people that you care for, because you don't know how much time you'll have with them.
Oh my God, that is amazing. Yes, agreed. And love isn't real, and we all die alone.
Okay, well, there it was.
That is this week's episode of Try This Podcast. If you like this podcast and you want to hear more, you can check out all our episodes at trythispodcast.com. You can listen to them, you can download them there, or you could check us out on iTunes. Also, if you're on iTunes, if you'd leave us a rating and review, that would be amazing. If you have anything that you want to say to us, you could email us at trythispodcast@gmail.com. Make sure to tune in next week. We'll have a new guest comedian, and we'll do the podcast that they have always wanted to do. I'm Robert Bacon. Keep trying.
We went and tried this and saw what transpired. This particular podcast filled our desires. We had a lot of fun and it was full of wit. Robert Bacon was our host and he's full of shit. We went and tried this. Now that it's done, it's been done, but never was before we did it. You're drunk.